This is Trivia Friday. The number to call with your question or your answer to a question is 888-589-8840. Now, back to more Trivia Friday.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Trivia Friday here on American Family Radio. Hey, if you want to send us an email, just use the address comments@afr.net. Comments@afr.net. I am Tim Wildman, joined by Mark Ost. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Tim.
Mark's filling in for Ed Vitagliano.
And I'm not filling his shoes adequately. I realize I'm not filling in those
gaps the way he does. You know.
Ed, if you're listening, you know you have job security.
Yeah,
so Ed, I salute you, Ed.
Ed will be back. You know, he'll be back in the saddle next week, so to speak. Yeah. J.J. Jasper's here with me, and we call this
Learning University.
Okay, Mark, you came in late right there. Yeah, you didn't harmonize well. Okay, let's go again, Mark. Here we go. We call this Learning University. Learning University is on the air, and we're taking your phone calls. You ask or answer or both, trivia. When last we left Rob, he was in Arkansas. That was 6 minutes ago. Mark, Rob, you back again?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
yes, sir.
Where are you now, Rob? You had a question for us.
Yeah, I want to say Mark was about a split second behind on that Learned University.
Yes, I apologize.
He was. He's learning.
Good call, ref.
That's right. That's right. All right. I was thinking about this. I had a question before, but I'm going to change my mind and do another question. But this one has to do with trucking. Are you ready?
Ready.
Okay, this is from my school days when I went to trucking school about 12 years ago over there at University of Arkansas. What is how many points of inspection are on an 18-wheeler truck? That's my first part of the question. And second, how many points does it take to fail?
Okay, so just to be clear, you're talking about like a truck pulls up to an inspection place on the interstate to get checked, there's 18 points of inspection?
No, sir. What I'm saying is this is to get your document from a driver's school saying that you have been certified to be a CDL driver. How many points of inspection on an 18-wheeler truck?
That's where the 18 came in.
Wow. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. And then my second part is,
I've been under a lot of stress, so I apologize, Rob. I misunderstood
your
question.
I'll go easy on you.
Yeah, okay.
That's okay.
Go ahead.
Okay.
His vehicle is stopping all willy-nilly when he comes to a stop sign. His vehicle just stops. Rob, I blame Brett Kavanaugh personally, but it has caused him a lot of stress.
I'll get back to that in a minute. But, Rob, go ahead. So Mark, okay, do you know?
Well, I have a brother-in-law who took the test and passed it, and I think the number is something like 26. And I think the second half of his question, in order to fail that test, a truck only has to fail one of those points.
Wow. How close is he, Rob? We go with Mark on that.
Well, he's on the other side of the moon with that. Okay. So,
that
the real
been
answer
Pink Floyd.
Is,
there you
right
go.
There,
the dark
Pink
side
Floyd,
of
dark
that.
Side of the moon. Yeah. So, yeah, don't try to get those classic rock questions by us, Rob. Go ahead.
All right. So, the answer to the first part of it is a 108-point inspection.
Wow. 108. My goodness.
What's number 77?
Yes, that's funny,
Rob,
that you would,
what is,
no, that's
what?
Funny that you would say that because my PIN number has 108 characters. And a couple of them are capitalized, and some of them are letters, and some of them are numbers. But they kept telling me the ones I was issuing, they said they're not safe enough. So now my PIN number has 108 characters, and I feel real good about that.
And, of course, you fail one of those, that blows the whole deal.
Hey, finish what you're saying. No kidding, 108. And if you just fail one?
Sir. No.
No. That's way off, too. Number 73, I can't tell you what it is, but I can tell you the only one I failed in was the washer fluid.
Washer? You know, that gets a lot of them, though, Mark, Rob, the washer fluid.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, I
never think about it.
I've heard it. Yeah. You don't know how many people in therapy because just the washer fluid issue that comes up when you're wanting to be a trucker. It's a tough, tough life on the road out there.
Oh, yes.
All right, Rob.
He was going to tell me.
Oh, was he?
He was going to tell us how many you have to fail.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, because I only missed one. But you can miss up to 7 points and still get your certificate.
All right.
Okay, good. So there's a little grace there.
Yeah, that's good.
You still have to have better than 100.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to go this afternoon and get my CDL, but not now. I can't remember 108 of anything.
All right.
Ask my wife when she tells me to pick up a couple things at the store.
That was Rob in Arkansas. Thanks, Rob. You're listening to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. We go back to the phones.
Let's go to Laura in Georgia. Hi, Laura.
43 minutes.
Hi, Laura. Hey, you'll have to turn your radio down because we've got some feedback. So it's important.
I hadn't heard her say anything.
Well, no, I can hear us coming in as with a delay. So it's important that you turn your radio down. It will cause you some confusion and us as well. Laura, are you there?
Turn it down.
Now they're turning it down. 7 seconds later, they're hearing what we say.
Hi, Laura.
Hi.
Do you want to ask, answer, or do both?
Do both.
Which one you want to answer?
I want to answer Mark's question, original name of Boston.
All right. Yes. What was the original name of Boston, or what is now the Boston, Massachusetts area?
Trimelton?
No, that's not the answer I have here.
It's not?
No.
Where'd you get that from, Laura?
The Puritans named that.
I think this was before the Puritans arrived. It's actually an old Indian word.
Like the Vikings when they came over?
Sometime after the Vikings, but before the Puritans.
So. After the Vikings, before the Puritans?
So the American Indians.
Which is before Credence. Am I right, though?
Before Credence.
You laugh, but am
after,
I right?
Yes, before Credence, absolutely.
Hey, Laura, what's your question for us?
It's a two-part question.
Okay.
What duck walks on two legs?
What duck?
I mean, what mouse walks on two legs?
What mouse walks on two
Mickey
legs?
Mickey Mouse.
Yes.
Yeah,
you JJ.
Gave a clue. On two legs.
JJ, what, that just came
what,
out.
That's, and what did you say the next part of it?
What duck walks on two legs?
Daffy.
Or Donald.
Or Donald. Yeah, Donald.
All ducks.
Yeah.
Well, oh, you got us that's again. Good. That's real good.
She got us there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brain, she tricked our brain.
Thanks, Laura. Have yourself a great weekend. Thank you and your family for listening to AFR.
Thank you, too.
So, back to this car thing for just a minute.
Yes, okay. Yes.
I got this new van a few months ago, and at first it didn't do this, and now it's doing it. It's turning, the engine goes off, or the motor, whatever, when I stop.
Allegedly to save fuel. You know, they used to say, if every time you start your car, that uses more fuel than just letting it run for... You know,
have you heard of this?
No,
I
haven't heard of it.
We had a rental car that did that,
yeah.
And we found a setting to change on that.
Okay, so that we didn't but I start pushing those buttons on the steering wheel. There's no telling what'll happen, Mark.
Yeah, you don't want to launch a missile.
The ejection seat might
spring
you right out.
We've got things just now. Got things simmered down in North Korea.
Yes.
So don't just start pushing.
Right,
a bunch
I don't want to start
buttons.
Just like JJ says. It makes you nervous just sitting there punching stuff on the steering wheel, all the buttons and things.
Because the new ones have an ejection seat. And you don't want that sunroof to peel back and
I don't
shoot
know.
You out in downtown traffic.
At the end of the day, last thing I want to do is pull out a car manual and start going through the instructions on how to change this. But it's a really weird thing if you haven't experienced it. But it's happening.
Yeah, interesting. Hey, Brad from Kansas, ask, answer, or do both, sir?
Well, I'm gonna do both. I gotta ask you guys when we listen to this program, is our IQ supposed to go up or down?
Brad,
depends on where you started.
If you have to ask that, that's going to affect your grade,
right,
my friend? Come on now, your IQ is going to go up.
Okay, I've been on hold for 46 minutes, and my head kind of hurts. So,
but man. You're smarterer. Wait. You are smarterer and betterer and more awesomer, Brad. If you don't believe it, ask your wife tonight or over the weekend.
I'm single, so I'll just ask my dog.
Yeah, there you go. Dog. Anyway.
Your dog will agree.
Yeah.
You're smarterer.
Hey, which one you want to answer, Brad?
Well, nobody's tackled the one about the area that an ox can plow. I wanted to try that.
Okay, here's the question. What unit of area was originally the size that a yoke of oxen could plow in a day, Brad?
You're asking for a specific name of an area?
Yes.
Like this ain't my answer, but like a square mile, or
yes.
There's all different kinds.
Yes.
Okay. I want to go with a hectare. A hectare. Mm,
what the heck did you say, Brad? excuse me, I shouldn't. I'm sorry.
It's hectacre.
Hectare. That is a good guess, but that is incorrect. It's a more common word.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the only other unit of measure I know of that uses the word acre. I'll be waiting for that answer.
You'd have to say that was a good guess. So,
hold on just a minute. What was the last thing you said, Brad?
I have to wait for your answer so I can know what it is. So I know you can't tell me right
okay,
now.
Okay, let me show Mark something. He didn't say that, did he, Mark?
Well, that was part of the word that he did say.
It was?
You could give
him. My apologies then. The correct answer is acre. Did you say that?
He said hectare, but that's
okay.
Yeah,
well, yeah, that's
all right. Yeah,
I'm sorry.
You got credit.
So that's where we come up with, and we use that today. If you have a 2-acre lot or 5 acres, it came from how many team of oxen? How much of area could they plow in a day? It was
an acre. But you're saying it's a longer word.
I thought your question was how many acres could it do? Because a hectare is like. I don't know, 10 acres?
I think it's 10 acres.
So, you know what? We're going to unclap, Brad. We're unclapping now and taking all that. Right. No, I'm just teasing. Hey, listen, it was a little miscommunication right there on my
acre.
Part.
That's
my fault.
No, that's all right. Hey, Brad, what's your question for us?
This is a follow-up to the when Moses sent the 12 spies into Canaan land.
Yes.
God said, you know, for them to head that way, because I'm going to lead you to a land that is flowing with milk and honey. Okay, what does milk and honey actually mean?
I have wondered that.
In this reference.
Because now so many people say that dairy's not good for you. Well, how can that be true? God recommended it.
I'm thinking you don't take that literal, necessarily. He's talking about blessings.
Blessings, yeah. Bountiful.
Bountiful. Right. In other words, it's just
a lot of excess and increase, just like when they had the grapes were so big, they had to carry them on a staff on the shoulders between two men.
I'm sure you can find some milk and honey in there, but I think that, to me, it's always meant it's a land of blessing.
Bountiful blessing.
Bountiful blessing.
What? Give us the lowdown on that, Brad. Teach us, learn us something.
Was that your final answer?
Yes,
final
sir.
Answer.
I had a preacher at the one church I attended to. He told us the definition of it, and it's actually, land of milk and honey actually means a land of position and influence.
That's good.
Think about Israel. You look at their position and the influence they've got, it makes sense.
Yeah, flowing. It says flowing, right?
Right,
flowing with milk and honey. Well, nothing flows with milk or honey in the world. So it has to mean something else than just a literal interpretation of that.
Here's the deal.
Be careful when you're doing that about the
Bible. You say nothing flows with milk and honey. Well, when you hear the sack boy yell out, "We need a cleanup on aisle 7." Well, that's the only exception to that thing you just never mentioned.
Flowing honey.
Yeah, if there's going to be a cleanup on aisle 7, there could possibly be some flowing milk and honey.
Honey flow.
Hey, Brad, thanks
now
for...
I was going to say, now my head hurts again.
Hey, Brad, thanks for that. Have a great weekend, buddy.
All right, thanks a lot.
I love honey, man. I love honey.
It's good
on,
for you.
I love honey on a hot biscuit with butter.
Oh,
you can do that. I can eat 7 of those at Cracker Barrel just right there in about 30 minutes.
And they'll keep on bringing
it. It's the only food in the world that doesn't spoil.
Huh?
I mean, God had something.
You're talking about honey?
Honey. He had something going on with honey.
Yeah.
It's good for you, and it's the only food in the world that does not spoil.
I wouldn't advocate eating 7 in 30 minutes. I don't want their children listening.
That's right.
And I don't want them to get the idea that, you know, Mr. Tim said on the radio I could eat 7 biscuits in 30 minutes, and it's and then they do that. They go to the hospital. They call us. We get sued.
Don't try this at home.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Unless you
want
to do it professionally.
Right. And really, if we drill down a little bit, it could have been your stunt double doing
it
that.
It could have,
because
JJ.
Because we are on the radio, and you are kind of a celebrity,
right.
So you could have a stunt double eating those biscuits.
I do have to stop myself at Cracker Barrel, though. I mean, am I the only one?
No.
Huh?
Tim,
no.
Do you have a stunt
some good
double?
Good cooking.
I may,
You'd never
Mark.
Tell, would you?
Yeah. Two, I ate 2 of those, and then I said, you really shouldn't eat any more. And then I ate a top off the next one, then I stopped. What about
it's you? It's like the basket of chips they bring you at a Mexican restaurant. If you're not careful, you'll get full on biscuits
before
or
the
chips
food ever gets
before
there.
The food ever
Duly
gets
noted,
there.
JJ.
Right.
You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Our last time for the day, we will state our questions here, and then we'll go back and close out the last 8 minutes of this show.
All righty. First question from Mark.
Yes.
Original name of the Boston, Massachusetts area, and I can tell you it was derived from an Algonquin word. I'll even tell you the Algonquin word it was derived from.
I don't remember my Algonquin from ninth grade.
Mashawamok.
Very well.
Was the Algonquin word that's been shortened. That was the original name of the Boston area. Question number 2 was...
Hold on.
Yes,
I'm
sir?
Sorry. Are you giving the answers to your
no,
question?
Sir. No, sir. That's not the word. That was the word it was derived from.
Okay.
So I'm just giving
start over.
Serious
I was a little confused. I interrupted you. Go ahead. Repeat.
Okay. What was the original name of Boston? The Boston, Massachusetts area. And my clue was it was derived from an Algonquin word, Mashawamuk.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. And then question number 2.
Mashawamuk.
What U.S. West Coast city... In what U.S. West Coast city will you hear a foghorn which blows every 8 seconds, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year?
Mashawamuk.
I owned a pair of those, and they were the most comfortable shoes I ever wore on my feet. Softer than moccasins.
And dry. Keep you dry.
That's exactly right.
Don't you backtalk me, Mashawamuk. Find out who's who around here.
Mashawamuk.
Huh?
Mashawamuk, if I'm saying it right.
Be careful, Mark.
Okay. Here's what I've got.
Live radio.
First question, true or false?
Mm-hmm.
Judge Brett Kavanaugh's grandmother once claimed she was abducted by a UFO. Is that true or false? Second
According
question,
to the Democrats, it's true.
What is the only nation that shares a border with Haiti? And then the third question, what popular soft drink was created in Waco, Texas?
Waco Cola. Am I right?
You're
close. I've never heard of it, but could be.
Get
Makes sense.
It.
Wake
Get
Cola?
Listen to me, Mouse Shackawamp. Tell you one thing. All right. My only question that is left here is from the Old Testament, and it's this. Which of David's sons tried to take the kingdom from his father?
Good question.
What was his name?
Good question.
All right, let's go back to the phones, JJ.
All right, we've got Lanny in South Carolina. Hello, Lanny.
Well, hello from rain-soaked South Carolina.
Man, we've
yes.
been praying for you guys in North Carolina and South Carolina. Lanny, we're so sorry for what you're having to deal with.
Well, thank you. Things are going well in my area, but there's some other areas that aren't going very well.
Yeah. Well, hey, listen, we got a little bit of a rough connection. Which question do you want to ask or answer?
The Old Testament one from about David.
Tim, your Old Testament question.
Can I get back to you? I'm texting right now. Can you put the phone down?
You know, this
I
is almost
so.
As bad as if you
okay,
were driving.
I'll put the phone down. I'm sorry, Lanny. Go ahead. What was your question?
Your question about David. He wants to answer your question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Which of David's sons tried to take the kingdom from his father?
I believe that would be Absalom.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
Nicely done.
That was
nicely
Absalom.
Done, Lanny.
And, how'd that work out for him?
Not very well. Got his hair stuck in a tree, I believe.
Yeah.
Then run through.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Good. Correct answer. And we move. Now, so
you what's your question for us, Lanny?
Okay. This is something you won't know from your lifetime. But anyway, in 1513, who became the first European explorer to set eyes on the Pacific Ocean?
Well, let us talk amongst ourselves here, Lanny. Hold on.
Okay.
Don't say yes or no or anything to us here. Okay. I'm thinking Magellan.
Magellan.
I'm thinking Magellan. Huh?
Yeah, maybe.
Got the shoe softeners today. That's kind of a legacy he left us with. But
he
back,
said Ferdinand Magellan. In 1513. That's about the same time as Christopher Columbus.
It wasn't Gutenberg.
Who had the
What about Juan Cabrillo?
Who had
okay,
the Pinta,
you go with Juan Cabrillo.
The Maria,
I'm going
the Santa Maria, the Pinto, and the what was
that? That was a great song.
Other one?
I'm going with Fernando Magellan. Aren't you Magellan?
Let's go with Magellan.
I'm going Magellan, Lanny.
All right, that's incorrect. It was actually Balboa. Vasco Nunez de Balboa.
Yo, I really feel like a dog, you know, because that, I was telling Adrian, everybody should know this answer. Yo, I really feel like a dog, you know, because these guys are picking the right person, not saying Balboa.
All right, so Lanny, thank you for giving us the answer there.
Yeah, good trivia, good history trivia.
Yeah.
Yo.
Thank you, appreciate it.
All right,
thank
take
you.
Care. We got time for one more.
Let's go to Louisiana, talk to Sam, ask, answer, or do both, Sam?
Both, please.
Which one you want to answer?
All right, the one about Haiti.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Here's the question. What is the only nation that shares a border with Haiti?
Dominican Republic.
You're exactly right. On the island of Hispaniola. Hey, what's your question for us?
All right. What was the first nation to use a submarine to sink a warship? Here's the clue. It was not a world power at the time.
What country used a submarine to sink a warship?
The first one.
Yeah.
Well, I know the first nation to use a submarine in wartime was the U.S. I learned that on Learning University.
Strangely enough, I'm not making this up, the U.S. had a submarine during the Civil War. It went up down the Mississippi River.
But I think it's more like the Congo, if I remember.
Yeah. We're stumped and we're running low on time, Sam. You better give us the answer, please.
All right. United States did have a submarine during the Revolutionary War and during the Civil War. But the first country to sink a ship with a submarine was the Confederate States of America. The problem was the submarine sank, too. So America was also the first nation to sink a submarine on a sinking ship.
Oh, very interesting.
All right.
Hey, thanks for that, buddy. Have a great weekend. Thank you for listening to AFR.
Right time, but go back and look up your submarine history. Google submarine in Congo and see what comes up.
How would you like to be in a sub?
They were landlocked
in the 1800s,
and they still
but that
still
little
submarine.
Little bit
man
of
man.
Technology.
You'd be sweating
a little river submarine.
We're going to give you a very long straw.
All might have been answered.
All right. What was the first name of Boston? It was Shawmut. Mashawamuk. Mm-hmm. We couldn't say that, so they said Shawmut.
Mm-hmm.
And the West Coast city where you'll hear that. Foghorn every eight seconds. Crescent City, California.
Popular soft drink. It was Dr. Pepper in Waco, originally called a Waco. And then, true or false, Judge Brett Kavanaugh's grandmother once claimed she was abducted by a UFO. It was made up, like a lot of allegations.
False.
Towards him. Yeah, it was false. Completely made up.
All right, folks. Have a great weekend. Keep listening to American Family Radio. And we'll see you back here on Monday.